and welcome to another episode of The Lava Pool. I'm your host, Sam Harsma, and this week we have an interesting panel of guests, starting off with one of our favorites, Toler Dimson Webb.
I'm back. How are you, after sir? Such a long time. It's like diving into a cold pool filled with ice.
But it's filled with lava.
Oh, crap! My clothes are too warm.
Or maybe it's filled with syrup, which is our intro topic today. For some reason, there's been a lot of IHOP going on before regionals this year, and my question to you is, what's your favorite syrup?
I think I just go with all natural organic syrup.
Just like maple syrup. Flavor? Or
yeah, I think maple syrup is the way to go.
Okay. All right, moving on, our other panelists, another returning favorite, we have Blake Mr. Bopper Hopper.
Hi.
I've never said that all in one go.
It's kind of a mouthful and pretty redundant.
Yeah.
Mr. Bopper Hopper.
Yeah.
So, Blake, what's your favorite syrup?
Okay. I want to say maple, but I'm going to do something a little bit different and say strawberry. From IHOP. Yeah, very good stuff.
Okay. That's a strong choice. Last, but definitely not least, we have Jan Latifan95 Michael Berger. I don't know if I butchered your name or not, but how are you doing, sir?
Oh, yeah, pretty well.
How close was I on the name?
Well, you pronounce it pretty well, actually. It's pronounced Jan in English, so it's just a little shorter, but you did pretty well. Most Americans I met are started with something like Jan, so I'm pretty happy you got it right on the first time. You pretty much got it right on the first try.
Okay, fantastic. And what is your go-to syrup?
I'm not really too fond of flavored syrup, so I usually just go with the natural one. So I guess it would be maple.
Okay, I'm a butter pecan man myself.
Solid.
Well, aren't you just special?
I think so.
You're a special little flower.
It helped me win the pancake eating contest. So that was fun.
You got me there.
We should definitely do another one of those at Nationals this year.
Not before an event, because that would be really, really bad.
like the day before.
Okay,
or
day before
after.
Day before I could do.
Yeah. And hopefully no one will throw up this time.
Ah, that's awful.
That seems like the perfect thing I would need before an event. Just throwing
like just throwing up.
Throwing up pancakes.
Formula for victory. I bet if we asked Yoshi how he won German Nats, he'd say, I threw up pancakes before the event.
Well, Irrelevant was the one who threw up, and he did top cut the next day. Okay. So maybe there's something to that.
It's a flawless strategy.
My try in Manchester.
All right, let's get into some housekeeping here and then right into Pokemon. So first off, I asked for questions last week. I also said we had a Twitter for the Lava Pool. And that is at the Lava Pool, but I put it at the end of the podcast, so I don't know how many people listen that long. Anyway, we have a question segment at the end of the show now. Ask us questions at the Lava Pool or on the forum, which is teammagma.net, and then go to the Lava Pool forum. There's a nice place to ask questions there. And also on our Twitter, we're going to give away Pokemon each week based on one of the Pokemon we talk about on the show. It'll be completely random what we talk about, so who knows? Anyway, German Nationals was just this last weekend. Only one of us was there. Jan, you want to tell us about that?
Well, yeah. Where should I start?
Talk about how it went for you.
It wasn't really my best run, to be honest. I went 5-3 and I don't know what place 41st in my flight wasn't really the best achievement, but I felt like it could have better if some things would have gone a little bit more my way. But I guess you can do anything about that.
Right. So you said in your flight, how many flights did they start out with?
Well, the basic idea of the national was to run two different flights in the masters class, Each flight has a top 8 cut, and and the next day they would be merged to a top 16 cut.
How many players did you have total? Just for Masters.
I think around 350.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a real shame because if you had just got like 80 more, we could have had a top 32 cut. But oh well, what can you do?
Sucks.
Right. Yeah. So, 2-day format, 300 odd people. How well was that run?
It was actually pretty well organized, but as it seems to be your usual case with VGCs, they were 1 hour behind the schedule, mainly because of the PCG. It could have been worse, like in Milan last year, or with the mess in Birmingham last year. So I guess we were still off to pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. I think a one hour delayed start is kind of standard. So
yeah,
definitely.
I wouldn't expect it to start any earlier than that.
Pokemon events never start on time. Never. It's almost guaranteed.
So, do you want to talk about your team, or are you still tweaking it for future nationals?
Oh, well, I'd love to talk about it, actually. I ran a team of Mega Gengar, Gudra, Scrafty, Azumarill, Ferrothorn, and Rotom Heat. And yeah, the basic idea was to set up bad matchups on the field as easily as possible, and maybe lock them into them with Mega Gengar. I saw the idea on BattleSpot when a Japanese player used it against me, and I really liked the concept, so I thought I would just give it a try myself, and yeah, it did pretty well for me in practice.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did going into Seattle Regionals with the Mega Gengar, just trying to lock people into bad matchups, and then they all had really weird coverage moves that made it not so bad matchups.
Oh,
Extra Century Greninja represent.
No, it was Crunch Kangaskhan and Payback Conkeldurr.
I would have also started against that, but luckily I never ran into that.
And there was a Moxie Salamence with Crunch.
Wow, that's impressive.
That is interesting.
I didn't lose to that one, but it was very close.
Well, no Intimidate obviously means that you win the match, because Intimidate's the best ability you see.
No. I mean, it's an okay ability. I would say it's a good ability.
Even Parental Bond is better.
Yep, that's true.
There are many better.
I think there was even an official statement released by the creator of Pokemon saying that Parental Bond was a little bit too powerful.
Yeah, like, it's a little bit strong.
Like, yeah.
What if Gardevoir traces it and uses Psychic? It will knock out every Pokemon.
It's not fair on
anything.
Yeah,
and you can skill swap it.
Yeah, you can,
which is fun.
It's actually strange that there hasn't been too many skill swaps shenanigans this format, actually, since so many Pokemon are reliant on their ability this year.
I think part of that is because skill swap was previously used like defensively, so it had a benefit even when the opponent wasn't using really strong abilities. But then the secondary thing was like swapping. Swapping something from them. But I guess like it could see a rise. I could definitely see it skill swap being good again.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of the abilities you don't really want to steal, like Levitate is pretty common.
The issue is not a lot of good Pokemon get skill
that,
swap.
Yeah, right I was about now. To say that. Like the one of the best ones would probably be Sylveon, which overall its
Pixelate.
Stats are kind of lackluster. Or you could technically give them Cute Charm because it's technically a useless ability. Or I guess Pixelate would also be
Q-Charm's pretty scary to me.
It could be. You could kind of work around it, but I mean, Pixelate could backfire technically, like whenever Kangaskhan returns your Garchomp, but it's super effective.
Well, yeah, but
it'd be kind of bad.
It loses its stab and its ability at that point.
Oh, yeah, okay, true. That's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget that Pixelate with Gardevoir is good because of the stab. But,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Definitely makes sense.
Yeah, other option is Entrainment, which there are a handful of good options there, like Pyroar.
But then you can't really abuse Intimidate being on the opponent's Pokemon, and that's so common.
Well, Well, you can. Well, that's. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think skill swap in this case is better, because if you swap intimidate, then you can get the
Oh,
intimidate for
it's
yourself.
definitely better. It just doesn't have the
It's
best
not.
distribution.
Yeah, absolutely. I would
There are
love to
better
see how.
Pokemon that have entrainment.
Yeah. Like Durant. Maybe not the best
I
example.
don't know if that's a better Pokemon. All right, back to Germany. Yoshi, whose real name is
Marcus.
Markus
Marcus
Stadler.
Stad.
Yeah, he. Did I hear this right? He went 16 and
Yeah,
0.
16-0.
he went 8-0 in Swiss, never dropped a game in Top Cup.
Wait, he didn't even drop a game?
Didn't
Like,
drop
in
a game.
He
best of.
2-0'd every single one of his opponents.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
Mac. Basically, he was amazing.
That's more than impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I think the closest we've had, to my knowledge at least, was last year Nationals with Wesley Morioka, or Steven Morioka, my bad.
Yeah.
He ended up 2-0-ing both of his opponents in top, like two of his opponents in top cut, and then ended up like dropping a game to someone. Or I think he was like, I don't even know, like 13-0 at that point.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, he was on fire. And he ended up losing to Randy Arnim.
All right, so let's talk about Marcus's team here. It looks like he had Mega Kangaskhan and Mega Mawile, and then he had Rotom Heat, the double dragon team of Garchomp, Salamence, and a Gengar.
Yeah, I think.
Which.
Go ahead.
Oh no, it's no, it didn't surprise me that he did that wrong, to be honest. It's a pretty solid and standard team, and yeah, you basically hit everything you need to hit with it. Yeah, didn't.
Well, the issue with standard teams is everybody knows how to deal with it in theory.
Yeah, well, but
So,
they're standard for a reason, so.
I think the key reasons why this team was different and was so successful were the Gengar, which was used by.
Yeah,
Like, it was
Gengar.
a big Japanese tournament, or I think it was the Battle Royale Finals, or something, Battle Gloria Finals, or the Asia Cup, I'm not sure. But I believe it was C who used that, who used Gengar with Kangaskhan. And I believe the set that Yoshi used was the Will-O-Wisp Taunt Focus Sash set, with Shadow Ball and Protect and Last Two
Yeah, he
Shots,
ran
in
that.
this case. Yeah, that's actually an astoundingly good set for dealing with both Aegislash and Kangaskhan, which were very, very popular at this time, and they still are, because we're so recent off the national. The meta is looking like those two are going to be pretty good. Kangaskhan, of course, is so strong. And then the secondary mega of Mawile, that's actually kind of like, for it being a meta team, like Jan said, it really is kind of a meta team. That's really a big difference that you can draw, because that double mega structure allows him to deal better with other Kangaskhans and other teams like his would.
Yeah, also if you see like a team that obviously hard counters Kangaskhan, which like if you see a team that's kind of difficult to bring Kangaskhan, you can easily switch it up and bring the Mawile on them, which in most cases has a more favorable matchup, because whenever you see counters to Kangaskhan, you see something we recently saw a team on Nugget Bridge with a Machamp. So you wouldn't want to bring Kangaskhan
Yes.
against that, but if you bring Mawile, then you suddenly have an advantage over that fighting type. So definitely Kangaskhan Mawile is a very good combination. And also, since Yoshi's team was so standard, it kind of allowed him to just, it was kind of like a tool, I guess, to just play really well. That's also what we saw with Ben Irons, Benji the Great,
Yeah.
in Kansas. He just had a really standard team, but he didn't really use the team to carry him. He carried himself with his playing. Instead of making the meta calls and ended up beating standard teams with that, he just played better than all of his opponents.
I think that's something that you and me talk about a lot, Blake, when we talk team building wise. We talk about like what the use of a team is and how best to use a team to win a tournament. And sometimes, like, there are different approaches to winning a tournament. I think some players have a best play philosophy where you have the best team and you make the best plays and you win a tournament and you do well at a tournament, which is absolutely accurate. But I think sometimes it kind of depends on schedule. And at regionals or nationals where you're running into random opponents, sometimes it's good to just have that standard team to fall back on so you know that you can play somebody and beat them, even sometimes in a disadvantageous situation, because those teams are in fact meta for a reason.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so you just have like those really fast, hard-hitting mons that maybe a newer player wouldn't really be able to keep up with. And if they, because So typically with some of the newer players, you have some weird strategies, like, for example, like a crunch Kangaskhan, like something you don't typically see that you wouldn't expect, but.
Of course, still seeing Kangaskhan, since it's, like, everyone knows it's good at this point.
Right, yeah. So if you have those like fast, hard-hitting Pokemon, then you can kind of, you know, outspeed them and KO them before they even reveal their secrets, reveal their things that could throw you off. So it's definitely good to have those standard Pokemon sometimes.
It's also kind of interesting to me that he used like Salamence, Garchomp, Gengar, Mawile, because all four of those, like two-thirds of his team, offered him a check to Kangaskhan, either through Rough Skin or through Intimidate or through another Intimidate with a Steel typing or straight up through Will-O-Wisp and Ghost typing. So like in all those situations, like he had really hard counters to Kangaskhan. That seems to be a theme throughout teams that have been successful in the current meta.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what his Rotom set was?
I'm
Yeah,
not sure.
I think it was the normal Overheat, Thunderbolt, Will-O-Wisp, and Protect. So yeah, nothing too fancy.
Probably use
So
two
just.
Citrus too.
Okay.
Yeah.
It
Not
may have
Hypsichon.
been something more aggressive, but yeah.
Yeah, it could have been Expert Belt, HP Ice, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Or Life Orb or something, but
Yeah,
I don't
something
know.
like that.
I think it had
Sure.
Citrus Fairy, so most
Okay.
likely.
Yeah,
Gotcha.
Jan knows better than we do.
Yes. Alright. Do we want to talk about any of the other teams that were there? Like,
Oh,
I
the
don't
Vivillon
actually.
team.
Yes, the Vivillon team.
Vivillon
Yeah,
team.
it's so cool.
Which
Like
got.
he had like we recently saw with Sage in Park, he had Mega Gyarados, and so did the guy in top four. He had the Vivillon, the Raichu, the Meowstic, Mega Gyarados. Just really like in the Aerodactyl, just really interesting, different
And then
Pokemon.
that's really
Bisharp.
support
Yeah, it was
heavy.
Yeah,
basically
Bisharp.
five support.
It's
It was
so
basically four
support heavy.
supporters, a Bisharp, and a Mega Gyarados. So,
Yeah, really. You have a lot
yeah,
of board control
his
that way.
entire team was centered around letting Mega Gyarados get Dragon Dances or Swagger Boosts. So you could
Yeah.
also see it in the sets he ran here. Vivillon is basically just there to provide opportunities
Sleep.
thanks to his fast sleep powder.
Sounds like he
Aerodactyl,
troubled.
thanks to the obvious, it's pretty obvious with Rock Slide, Right Guard as a protection, I think, and Sky Drop.
Yeah.
And.
Skytrap is actually really useful for controlling the ward.
Yeah, and also with. It was. I'm gonna be referencing Seijun's team a lot here, but also Seijun Park won a Korean event with Aerodactyl and Mega Gyarados, and. You saw, like, you could see, like, how good those two are together because Aerodactyl can Sky Drop something while Gyarados Dragon Dances, and then the next turn, Aerodactyl still outspeeds Gyarados, so he can Sky Drop it and then double up for a KO. So
Yeah.
you could I definitely understand how, I don't actually know his name, the guy using Vivillon. You could definitely understand how he got so far, and
Did we
also
lose
Raichu
Porygon
is
one?
actually not so bad either.
No, it's not.
I don't know. With the base stat boost that it got this generation,
Yeah, 10 speed really
yeah,
helped a
speed
lot.
especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then being able to lock things with Fake Out and Encore.
Right, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's really useful as a support Pokemon. I can see the Vivillon. The only thing I have is like, Vivillon is kind of a lot like Jumpluff. It's a Rage Powder, Sleep Powder combo that's actually really good. The difference here is that Vivillon can use Bug Buzz and Hurricane and actually deal damage because they're strong moves, where Jumpluff
Yes.
doesn't have any powerful options but does have Helping Hand. So I think the connection between those particular non-meta support Pokemon is really interesting to me.
The other big difference is speed and ability.
That is true. That is true.
Because
Jumpluff has
Vivillon.
Infiltrator and no
Yeah.
Compound Eyes.
And Vivillon is slower than all the base 100s, like your Kangaskhan and Salamence and Zapdos.
I can still
Sounds really.
outrun Modest 100s with Timid, though.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what was he running on his Vivillon?
I think
I
he
believe he's the
ran.
Bug Buzz, Hurricane, Sleep Powder, Rage Powder set.
And he
Sorry.
didn't run.
What item?
He was sashed, I know that much. But I
Okay.
think he only revealed Sleep Powder and Hurricane when he was on the screen. I know that, but I know that his Raichu ran a pretty strange set. It was I think something like King's Rock, Fling, Fake Out, Wall Tackle, and Encore.
That's kind of true.
Okay, I didn't know about the
Things Rock.
Fling Kings. Yeah, that's.
It's
So
actually
yeah,
pretty
you
solid.
can really see how the team is centered around around setting up opportunities to get up Dragon Dances.
Yeah,
Not really. Lots of field control with Sky Drop and Fake Out, and then fling King's Rock.
And sleep.
And sleep.
And I'm guessing Swagger support from that Meowstic.
Yeah, also Charm and Quick Guard support.
Wait. Charm. So add Charm, Quick Guard, Swagger,
and Safeguard.
Okay, that's.
Yeah.
That's an okay Meowstic set.
It was really interesting to watch because the team structure is so different from all the heavy offense you usually see this year.
Right.
I've never seen a team so centralized as the ones in single Pokemon, to be honest.
And those are a lot of super frail Pokemon, too.
Well,
Raichu, Vivillon, Aerodactyl are all just kind of glass. Yeah, and then
they can't all run a Focus Sash, too.
Yeah, Bisharp also not exactly the most defensive Pokemon in the world.
Kind of wondering what he ran on Aerodactyl, because Aerodactyl, Vivillon, and even Bisharp sometimes can all want the Focus Sash. So
right.
The decision to run Focus Sash on Vivillon is interesting.
No, could have ran a double Mega kind of build. It's very possible.
I don't believe it was Mega.
Oh.
No, he said himself that it was centered on the Mega Gyarados sweep, so.
Right.
He was basically forced to pick Gyarados as his Mega every game.
Oh, okay, so I see.
Bisharp didn't really provide any offensive pressure on its own, and yeah.
Just get away.
So he was kind of reliant on it.
Interesting.
Alright, so I guess after that we move into UK Nats.
Yeah, UK, which is 3 weeks from now?
End of
the month?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Oh, well.
Yep.
Most likely it's going to be the biggest national, so even Chris Brown himself said that he would be disappointed if he wouldn't get a top 32 cut, and, because he expects more than 500 people there for sure.
I could definitely see that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's probably expecting that at the U.S. Nationals this time, too.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have a minimum of 32 at Nationals.
How many did we have last year in Nationals?
32. We had top 32 cut. With 328.
Okay. Yeah, but I remember they bumped that up because we didn't hit whatever the kicker was.
It was supposed to be 16, but they bumped it up because we didn't hit the kicker for 32. So then we just did 32.
Right. Yeah. Alright, so of the people we know that are going to UK Nats, which I'm going to be honest here and say I haven't looked into that at all, who do you guys see as the front runner?
Well, Jan, do you know of any Germans that are going?
Well, I know Yoshi is going again, I know his friend Massi is going again, and I think Duflo is also going.
Are you going?
Yeah, also. But I'm not really sure what I'm gonna run yet. I think I'm planning to build a team and test it on a new team and test it on the international challenge. Depending on how that will go, I might just run either that or my Pokemon team again.
I know that Super Integration should be going, and Ben Kiriakou is probably going, more likely than not. Aside from that, I'm not sure of others.
I think we could probably assume Tokul and Zog as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who's Havoc. Zog?
Zog? Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so basically every British player, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Probably.
Yeah.
I can definitely see Zog doing well. He won a grassroots tournament earlier in the season. He's kind of shown that he can, like, do well in the meta, so it should be interesting to see what he's running.
I mean, he's one of the only old-timey, so to say, UK players that's still around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he still does very well almost every event he goes to. Or he loses in hilarious ways.
Yeah.
Which is why he's one of my favorite players.
I think the meta changes now, we're almost definitely going to see more Gengar.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah. After he's won a national and it's so clear that he's good.
Right.
It should spike. But if it doesn't, Gengar. It's fine.
Gengar is something that I thought we were going to see a lot more of, like, right as the season started, before everybody just went to Mega Kangaskhan immediately. And I don't know why it took this long for Gengar to get popular.
Gengar is good against Mega Kangaskhan. It's not really popular yet.
Yes, it is.
But it's really good against Mega Kangaskhan. And I think the reason why it didn't get popular, it's in this meta, it's really not that good played offensively. And it's a gimmick at best when played as Mega. I think Yeah, three focusing on that supports that with Willows and or Taunt.
I think most
people just tried to throw it onto Parish Trap teams. And then Parish Trap is something really tricky to pull off.
Well, I think it can do decently offensively, but the problem is it usually needs to rely on neutral damage and can you often need to double target to take things to take certain things out, so you need to take that into account when playing it. But
yeah,
I think Shadow Tech is a really great ability, and that in itself would justify sacrificing the mega slot for it.
Yeah, it. Being able to lock stuff like Mega Kangaskhan in, and then you can just Will-O-Wisp it, or even locking stuff like Amoongus in while you taunt it,
yeah,
is a really helpful thing.
Yeah, well, it just kind of depends on the team you're using, I think, a lot of the time. Because you couldn't, like, Yoshi couldn't have run 3 Megas on his team.
No.
Well, you never know.
Well, I mean...
He could have tried!
Definitely could have tried.
Once you get to the 3 megas point, you're forced to run 2 megas every match. Which is a little...
You're forced to sit out
2 megas at least.
Yeah.
But you're very close to relying. You have 3 normals, 3 normal Pokemon that you're always picking every match.
It's not like 2010 when you could only take 2 Ubers in a match.
Picked 4 for your team.
Some people just have 4 Ubers and 2 regular Mons.
That was a fun meta.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Gengar should be one of the largest meta changes. I think Hydreigon is going to be a little bit more time coming, but it should be, based on its success at US Regionals, it should see success in events in the future.
I still think people are going to be holding onto their Salamence a little bit too close to just Hydreigon.
Falcon's still doing well, doing decently, but the way the meta is right now, I can only see bulky variants doing really well.
Yeah.
Because other than that, it's just either inferior to Garchomp or to Salamence.
Right. Yeah, because, like, Intimidate is just such a great ability, and it pretty much has a built-in Levitate with the flying type, so people tend to gravitate towards the Salamence more than the Hydreigon. And also, we're also kind of starting to see some more non-Scarf Salamence start to rise, like Inosh's, Haban, Salamence at Regionals. I used Specs Timid Salamence at Regionals. It was outstandingly great. It just hit
I used Specs Timid Salamence, and it did pretty poorly.
Yeah. So. Oh, really? Oh. Well, anyways, we're definitely... I'm starting to see like more non-Scarf Salamence, some more eccentric sets on Salamence. So I can definitely see people bringing Salamence over Hydreigon, but I... can see Hydreigon being a little bit better in the meta, just because
kind of the question.
Ghosts might start to rise at Nationals to counter the Kangaskhan, but we'll just have to see.
Iggy's already pretty big. Iggy Slash,
it is.
That
is. It
and
is.
Gengar might see a rise.
Right.
We're seeing a rise in the trend of dragons to beat other dragons, where we look at these non-meta Salamence picks, things like Haban-Berry,
right.
And Scarf was already popular, so you're looking at ways...
And a number of Gudra.
Scarf Gudra actually is pretty cool because you only need to run a little bit of HP to live a timid Salamence Draco Meteor while you can also easily outspeed a Garchomp. It's a really nice set. I also ran it on my Nets team and it always did pretty well.
So should we give away a Gudra?
Maybe. I think we're probably going to have to give away a Gengar.
Oh, well,
that makes sense.
I don't know. There's still more time in the podcast. We could talk about something more.
So following that...
Actually, something I'm just noticing now, looking at the top 16 teams from Germany, almost all of them have at least 2 Ice Weeks, and there is not a single Ice-type Pokemon in the top 16.
Yeah, because Ice-types are usually beaten by Kang.
Yeah,
what happened to the Mamoswine we thought was going to be there?
I like Mamoswine a lot, but he's not that easy to play, and he's really, really risky, even if you do play him well. So
really
I think
is.
That,
sure.
Like, it's tough to make him work.
Even if you, like, even with Mamoswine, like, Kangaskhan beats it, Azumarill beats it, Aegislash gives it a tough time, Garrett, like Gyarados, just like a lot of things in the meta beat Mamoswine, but Mamoswine also in return beats a lot of other things in the meta. So it's kind of
that's
like,
always been true about Mamoswine. Though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we kind of saw it last year too with Rotoms and Hitmontop stuff like that. But I think that might be why people aren't running Ice types. Just it's difficult to run them safely and guaranteed to that they'll be safe every single match. So I mean, well, yes, they do beat a lot of things, it can be a little bit tough to bring in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true of pretty much any Pokemon at this point.
Well, Kangaskhan.
Yeah, there are obviously some that have more advantages.
Again, like, teams are so set on countering Kangaskhan at this point, it's not the safest thing in the world anymore.
No, it's not. You're absolutely right. But it is the safest thing in the world, since it's kind of the best Pokemon in the game right now.
Yet three of the top four at Germany had Kangaskhan.
Yeah, and they also had, like, four Kangaskhan encounters.
Yeah, but, I mean, the fact that it centralizes the meta that much, like, using it correctly can make it really successful for you at a tournament in general. It may be that they weren't picking it as much against each other.
I'm saying it's the same thing with ice types.
Right.
Where right now they have really good spots in the meta, and then they also have a few terrible defensive inefficiencies.
I think Mamoswine in particular has really big, gaping defensive inefficiencies, like almost every Rotom form, which is very popular. And Kangaskhan in of itself gives a lot of problems to Mamoswine, so didn't see as much use.
I'd like to see more about Masnoh.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it doesn't do anything really new in the current meta. Yeah.
I mean, what does Blizzard do for
you? No, you hit like Rotom W and King. That's it, I guess.
Scarfwood Hammer, go.
Scarfwood, hey, don't
bash it.
It.
Don't bash it, yeah.
Wood Hammer is good.
Speaking of places without much wood, Australia regionals are happening pretty soon.
Okay, that's where you're going. That is a good transition. Yeah, Australia regionals start on the 10th.
As much as I just like work to transition into that, I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, basically there's I think 5 regionals throughout the next 3 weekends. I don't remember the names for all the locations, but
Brisbane,
Melbourne, Perth.
Hey, that's 3.
That's, yeah, okay. And then there's more.
To be honest, I didn't even know there were Australian regionals.
We are really unaware podcast right now. We are ignoring some stat boosts.
Okay. Australia regionals, basically, first place at any regional gets a trip to Nats and a 2DS. And second place gets a 2DS.
Oh, yeah. I love gotta 2DS, get those 2DSs.
So there'll be a handful of people that get trips to Nats, like Australian Nationals, and then those are at some point in the future. I did not write this down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you're an Australian listener, maybe get regionals going. And tell us how it went, because I don't know anyone in Australia.
I remember meeting some really cool people who came from Australian tournaments. While they weren't necessarily the best players in Worlds, it was definitely fun to have more people from different countries. I think as long as we're trying to include the majority of the best player population, it's not a problem to bring in people from other countries or other regions. Which I think that's a big conflict that people have, where they're like, we should have only the best players, and it should be a small, focused tournament. But I feel like the international aspect of these tournaments is also pretty important, so I think that should be paid attention to.
Right.
Yeah, besides, there's always this one guy who seems to find a random his way for Swiss, and
Yeah. I mean, who knows? The Australian player might win Worlds this year, but
it's possible.
It kind of depends.
Yeah, the one Australian player.
The one.
Is it one?
No, I think it's supposed to be a few.
It's supposed to be two or three, or 2 to 4. I don't know, actually.
Yeah. I don't think they'd have it if they were only going to send one player.
Yeah, probably not.
This whole thing, we're sending one guy.
What is it, Korea?
Korea had their nationals postponed.
Yeah, they're sending
Korean
a
ferry accident.
They're sending 2 players, although they probably should be sending more, because they have a really good player base.
Yeah, but they might not even have any qualifiers to determine who's coming.
Yeah, they might not.
Okay. So, moving on. Next thing we have on our list, Premier Challenges, which have been... They started, like, a week or a couple weeks ago.
Beginning of this month.
And it was like right after we recorded our last episode. Yeah. I haven't been to any yet. I know Blake and Toller have.
Yes, we have.
How big were these things?
Mine like, was a 20...
Compared to a regional.
It was really small. It was a 22-man, five-round tournament with no top cut. Even though I think it was supposed to have a top cut with 22 people. But we didn't have one. And we went five rounds, and I went 5-0, et cetera, et cetera. It was really cool. I like grassroots tournaments in general, because they help to foster more like local dynamism towards the growth of Pokemon, which I think is important. Like, seeing things on a local level, we see games like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Magic, or even TCG, that have this big local following, so that you can go and play every week. Or in Japan, where they have that for the VGC, they have local tournaments pretty regularly. So I think that's going to be the start of making this more of an effective hobby that's not so centralized on certain people that have the ability to go to places.
Well, in Texas, the Dallas Premier Challenge was, I believe, 38 or 39 players. So relatively tiny for compared to regional. And we had a top cut of 8. I went 7-1 in Swiss. I believe Shiloh and Ben went, or not 7-1. I didn't mean to say 7-1. We had 6 rounds, so I went 5-1 in Swiss, and Benji and Shiloh went 4-2 in Swiss. Both Tiff and I got top 4, and Ben got top 8. It was very well run, mainly because it was such a small tournament. It went very quickly. It was very efficient. And it's very nice to have these premier challenges, mainly because for players such as me, Ben, and Shiloh, and Toller, who are very close, like either very close to getting into top 16 in CP or very close to getting out of top 16 in CP, you can kind of get that edge on everyone else. Because like I got 10 CP, so I got knocked into the next, I guess you can call them brackets for CP. So I got knocked up 10 CP, so now I'm tied, instead of being tied with... Ben and Ashton, I am now tied with Zach and PVB, which
and I think the situation for you can just top 32 Nats and almost be guaranteed a world's invite.
Yes, however, I would like to, which is why I'm going to 2 other Premier Challenges, because I don't want to like be like, hey, I could technically get just 32 and make it. I want to be sure I can get top 32 and make it, so I'm going to be going to 2 more Premier Challenges to give myself some good chances to get some more CP. And hopefully not miss 2 Dracos on a 1 HP Bisharp next time in top 4. And also
why were you Dracoing if it had 1 HP?
Yeah, and also be sure I EV train my Zapdos before I go in.
Zapdos. Hey, you know, strong players like Sam Harzma and Zach Dracamp have been very successful using un-EV Pokemon before.
I thundered a Vaporeon, and I'm like, and it lived with 1 HP, I'm like, that should've killed.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, and like a Mian Xiao lived with 10 HP. I'm like, that definitely should have killed too. Well, this sucks. And I didn't even realize until I went to my in-game and looked at my party just in super training. I was just bored, so I was clicking all the things. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. And I click on Zapdos, and everything is just tiny on the super training screen. I'm like, no. No.
No way. Right. No. No. No.
I had known it didn't have EVs, I could have just grabbed a random Zapdos with random EVs. It would have been better than the one I used. But, other than that, Premier Challenge was great. I got to avoid playing anyone that I wouldn't want to play, such as Shiloh and Benji. But I mean, overall, Premier Challenges are great, very helpful for the players who need CP. Just a little bit unfortunate that they can't be super available, relatively available for everyone else like it is for me and Ben and Shiloh, because like a 30-minute drive for us, like, it's nothing. And then people like Colin Heyer, the battle review was on Blogpool last week, he has to drive like 3 hours for his Premier Challenge, something like that. It's just crazy.
Mine was 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, like that's insane, I think. Insane. And then like you have states like, I think it's Utah.
Utah has so many.
Like double digit Premier Challenges.
Yeah, they have one every weekend.
Like that's
much.
Insane. They have like 12 or something. It's a lot of Premier Challenges. And places like Texas actually has a good amount, but I think that's necessary considering how large Texas is.
Meanwhile, I was surprised that we had one in North Carolina.
Yeah.
We had nothing.
Yeah, like, pre-read challenges are definitely helpful. I really enjoy them.
All right, so I have one more question on that, because a couple of them I was looking at online said they had buy-ins. Is that the case or no?
There was an entry fee for mine. There was a store credit prize for, because for you who haven't been to local tournaments, the listener who hasn't been to a local tournament of any kind before, oftentimes at local shops or game stores or comic stores or whatever, they'll have a local tournament, and you'll pay an entry fee, and then the prize will be related to money in the store coming out of the pot. So in my case, there was a $2 entry fee for the tournament. And for winning, I had $24 in store credit. So the store already had my money. I had to get something in the store with $24 as part of the prize, aside from the CP. So it's really up to the individual organizer to decide what the prize is. Oftentimes the store hosting will try to get something out of it like that for prizing. Because they're technically just selling goods at that point. And so, like, that's how that works, if you see that. And sometimes there's a buy-in just so you can have a cash prize for winning. Or being in top four.
Yeah. A little bit more on that. In Dallas, it was actually a little bit different. We had a $5 buy-in. So over 40 people, you know, get a solid chunk of money. But they didn't redistribute it among the players. Instead, we had fixed prizes where third and fourth got some weird Best Buy Play Now $5 gift card. Don't even know what it is. Probably won't even use it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, worth it. Woo. And then second place got a $10 eShop gift card, while first place got a $20 eShop gift card. And I believe if I trying to rethink here. If we had done it at a store or establishment, such as, like, where you can buy stuff, probably would have done it like yours did, Toller, where, you know, you get in-store credit. But we did it at... ours was hosted by Christine, which is the local tournament host for the South, pretty much. She hosted St. Louis, Kansas City, all the Texas regionals. She's great. And she did it through a local college called the University of North Texas, UNT, and they have like a Pokemon club, and we just had it at their campus. So we did. We went into a lecture room and just battled there. So that's how that went down. Pretty great.
Okay. All right. So the only other tournaments that are going to count for CP before like all these nationals start happening is the International Challenge May. Which I believe sign-ups start today, is that right?
Or... Crack your knuckles.
I thought it was on the 8th. The 8th through the 15th.
Well, that's what day it is.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's today, man.
Right.
So, yeah. Sign-ups are now the... When does the tournament actually start?
The 16th.
The 16th. Yes. Okay.
On that.
And it's till about, like 50,000 players again.
Yes, 50,000
some number
is the
that
cap.
They never actually hit.
Yes.
Okay. And points for that.
Basically the same as last year, if I recall correctly. So.
I think it's like 10 for winning.
It is 10
is that
for
right?
winning. Here, I have the link here. Hold on, let me check it.
Okay. And another question I have is, do the points count like based on your ranking in your region or your worldwide rank?
I believe region.
Yeah, region.
I don't think it was confirmed, but I believe region. Okay, I have the points. Yeah, first place, 10 points. Second through 8 points. 9 through 16, 4 points. 7 through 64, or 17 through 64, 2. And then the rest through 128 is 1.
Registration starts on Thursday, May 8th.
Okay, follow-up question on the region thing. In Black and White 2, they gave you, like, your region based on your Play Pokemon thing. But with the other international, like, friendlies they've had so far, they've actually grouped you based on what your DS is set as instead of whatever.
Well.
So, like, I think the first beta tournament or whatever, I was ranked first in Anguilla. And I was very confused as to why I wasn't on the But it's because I was playing on this capture card that had its location set to Engia. So
very strong.
I don't know if I should just keep it that way and play there, thinking I'll get an easy first place.
No, I don't think that's how it works.
I would hope not. I would really hope that's not how it works.
I wouldn't take that
easily
risk.
Easily abused.
Yes, but either way, I'm going to test it. I'm going to set my DS to some very strange region, and then
just set it to Algeria.
I'll keep my Pokemon account set to Washington. And see how that goes.
So I think with that, with Sam asking a bunch of questions, that kind of segues into the questions that were asked by our viewers.
Yes, questions, which we got a handful this week. I've picked three of them for right now. First off, we have Pball0010, who asks, what do you see as a dark horse Pokemon to win this year in Nationals Top Cut, both Mega and non-Mega?
I think after our discussion today, my opinion has changed. I was going to say Hydreigon, but I think that's a little too obvious. For going dark horse, I'm going to say Goodra, because I think it has a strong matchup against a lot of the special attackers that are being picked, and it has some viability on certain teams. It just kind of depends on how it's used.
Cool. I'm going to go a little bit crazy here and say Alakazam. It outspeeds and KOs Garchomps. It can Oko Salamence if it's not Scarf. If you support it, it can KO Salamence. And it can Oko Amoongus. So that's pretty solid. I think it can do a hefty chunk. If you really want to get crazy and do Focus Blast, you can do very hefty chunks to Kanga. But not sure if you want to go that crazy. But
Well, you could just get Sucker Punch, so.
True.
I'm going to say Malamar.
Okay.
It's got a good typing. It has a great ability.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit predictable, but...
It has some really good moves that nobody has actually tried using yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see if somebody will just break out of the standard Night Slash, Psycho Cut, Superpower, Protect, or Assault Vest.
I could see it.
It has options.
It's solid.
All right. Jan, what do you think?
I think Mega Aerodactyl could be pretty cool because I've seen some Japanese players use it, and Aerodactyl is a pretty versatile Pokemon in general. And in its Mega form, it can actually get KO. So
yeah, that's
whoa! That is I knocked something out.
It's crazy.
I always get surprised when Aerodactyl does any damage.
Yeah,
and I use it.
Whenever I use it at regionals, it was just for like chip damage. Like it's not actually killing. Yeah,
I was
just doing small damage.
I was sky dropping everything from Kangaskhan to Salamence. Like
right.
Yep.
Field control.
Yep. I'm going to sky drop this Rotom so it doesn't kill me this turn.
I have actually. Well, Rotom takes damage from sky drop.
Yeah,
I discovered after someone got into an argument with me. It's like, no, sky drop does not damage levitating Pokemon. Yes, it does.
It
mashes them into the ground and crushes them.
Yeah.
And I don't really get this, to be honest, because you don't damage flying-type Pokemon, but you do damage levitators. It's really strange.
That's because the flying types can fly,
and the levitators,
just
flying.
So yeah, if you drop them from far enough, the momentum will carry them into the ground.
I guess
whereas
the idea
flying
is
types
that
can recover themselves.
Yeah, but if the flying type is something like Dodrio that can technically even fly, then...
It's Pokemon. It doesn't need to make sense.
Good point.
Why is Magnezone four times weak to Earthquake? We'll never know.
My favorite part is that if you die from burn while in the middle of Sky Drop, they don't take damage. Which, in theory, you've picked them up and you're just going to drop them anyway. So how is you fainting them not taking damage on the way down?
I think part of it is you hitting them on the way down as well, but I'm not sure on that.
I don't know. Maybe they just use your body to break their fall.
Yeah, because Aerodactyl with Tough Claws gets boosts the power of Sky Drop, I believe. So if it's doing physical damage, it should technically be hitting them also.
So now that we're talking about the Dark Bird and not the Dark Horse at this point, maybe we want to talk about a Dark Move, namely Sucker Punch. Lucario Jr.'s question.
Yes. Lucario Jr. writes in and asks, what to do when faced with an endgame 1v1 Sucker Punch standoff?
Sit in a corner and cry. I hated that. I actually had to do that in Top 4 at the Premier Challenge too. It was my King Joe versus a Bisharp, and it was like, I protect against a Sucker Punch, they realize what I'm doing, and then I go for another and they just Iron Head it. So it's honestly, yeah, it's just depending on how risky you want to play it. If you end
it's
up playing,
kind of a guessing game.
Yeah, some players who play really aggressive will just go for the Iron Head or the Nice Slash Assurance, whatever. But some people will just keep Sucker Punching and they just don't stop Sucker Punching. It's like they're going to mess up eventually. I don't know.
Sucker Punch is one of those moves that has very limited PP.
Exactly, which is why it's technically stallable. Whenever you see Kangaskhan versus Aegislash, you see kind of mind games where people are starting to even return or power punch or even fake out the Aegislash just because they don't want to waste their Sucker Punches and they know they're not attacking. So it's definitely difficult to call it when they're going to attack.
Yeah.
It's kind of a guessing game, to be honest with you. Like, I know you might be hoping for some sage advice from Pokemon World Champion Toller here. Some players have a philosophy about it where they go for Sucker Punch twice and then attack or something, and you have no idea who those players are.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Here's my advice. Use Will-O-Wisp.
Yeah, use Will-O-Wisp. Have Will-O-Wisp on your Kingdra, guys. It's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. If I had Will-O-Wisp Kingdra, I totally would have won. Like,
or if you had Yawn Kingdra.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, you could just run Disable and then disable Sucker Punch.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually really intelligent.
That's actually
Thank
very
you
hilarious.
For providing a legitimate answer, Yawn.
Yeah. We're just here like, just...
Yawn! Will-O-Wisp!
And then, like, you can disable. Like, oh, right.
So, I guess Will-O-Wisp Kingdra would completely change the metagame if it was in it, leading into Jockey's question.
Yes.
One Pokemon would completely change this current metagame if we were back into it?
Oh, there's a few.
Terrakion. And
Terrakion.
Yeah, Terrakion.
I would say.
Pretty big. Yes, Heatran, I think, is number one.
I need Terrakion.
Right, like, Terrakion beats Talonflame, Charizard, has the potential...
Kangaskhan.
Yeah, beats Kangaskhan, has potential to Oko. Garchomp
does damage to Mawile.
And most importantly, it has Rock Slide.
Yeah, Rock Slide is just...
Rock.
So you can just click it and, yeah.
Like, I just... I want...
Super good.
Terrakion. And it has Safeguard.
And it does have Safeguard.
But just... Everybody's just gonna Will-O-Wisp it turn one anyway.
The true selling point
of
Terrakion,
yeah.
The Safeguard.
Yeah, not the countering Kangaskhan.
Safeguard. All of those things at the same time. That's what makes it good.
True,
exactly.
True.
Because everybody's just gonna try and Will-O-Wisp you before you can start killing their things. And
or Hydro Pump.
Well, you can just Rock Slide flinch them.
Yeah, just Rock Slide flinch them. I like how Yawn thinks.
Yeah,
just flinch the Smeargles before they do anything. It's all good.
Metagross might have an impact, but not too big now that that's been changed.
It would help balance, I think. It would be kind of nice to see Metagross.
I think as far as steel types go, it's Heatran and Excadrill.
Excadrill would be huge.
Especially in Mega T-Tar. You have so much sand control.
And I think that Mega Gyarados would be gone, like, because everybody would run Excadrill instead for their Mold Breaker with Earthquake.
Okay, I could see it. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh yeah, I can see Excadrill being pretty helpful too. That'd be very nice.
And then I think the other big one that we haven't mentioned yet is Togekiss.
Oh god, Togekiss! That very first season of Rated Doubles, where we didn't have the special ladder installed, Togekiss with specs. It was just Dazzling Beam, everything with no sign of stopping. It could not be stopped.
Was it beating everyone? I wouldn't know.
It was beating people, especially me. Like, I had my VGC 14 teams, everyone's using these Breloms, these Togekiss, and like, no. I couldn't keep up with the Togekiss.
Breloom would be pretty cool. That'd be a pretty cool Pokemon to have back. Yeah. I was always kind of a big fan, although I think everyone kind of agrees it's a little bit of a gimmick, but it's my favorite gimmick, number one, because it's adorable, and number two, because Technician Mach Punch plus Spore is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of like things that would just change the metagame immediately, I think Defiant Tornadus.
Ooh,
oh,
for sure.
Yeah,
definitely see that. Yeah. Well, the thing is, we don't have access to gyms anymore, which is the only reason why physical Tornadus was good last year.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the only reason.
Just run item Tornadus.
That's the only reason why it was like such a huge threat. It's just like that super strong neutral hit against pretty much most of the metagame. It was pretty good.
Yeah. You could just oko everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
You could.
Like, aside from Kress.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Ironically, I don't think Kress would make that big of a difference to the metagame, other than...
None of us have mentioned
that. Yeah, but it would probably be the return of more speed control again, because... Yeah, because things would be more be broken enough again to make it viable, make it a little bit more viable.
Kress wouldn't have Will-O-Wisp, and to have for it to be good, it would have to have Will-O-Wisp, because it would have to be able to hit Mawile / Kangaskhan in some way, do something to them, and it couldn't what you're gonna Thunder Wave Mawile?
You can still ice him, I guess, but and yeah,
no, because that's a move tutor, and had Kress, we wouldn't get the move tutor.
Oh yeah right.
I think Thunderous. Is the other big one from the last few years.
I never want to see that thing ever again. Shot. Oh my god.
I guess Landorus would be okay too. I don't think it would change the metagame that much, but...
Thunderous just never needs to come back. I think we could do with removing the genies from VGC forever. I'm not sure if it'd be the best thing to do, but I would be okay with it.
I would Landorus be pretty T happy if never has to see a Thunderous again.
Landorus T and Thunderous have just been such big problems. every time they've been used. Thunderous made the game less fun, and Landorus T made the game less fun. So.
Well, I don't know. Landorus T might actually help right now, because...
Right now, maybe, yeah.
It's the best parts of Garchomp and Salamence combined.
Yeah, but it would just become, it would become the best Pokemon again. And isn't that a problem?
it's easy enough to deal with.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'd rather deal with one than having to deal with two dragons.
I would be just happy if they would have just made not made Thunderous that annoying.
I'll just
but I know they but I know boss. they kind of revived the part in the meta game because of thanks to Meowstic.
All right.
Okay. I think we're running pretty long on time, so I think we'll wrap this up now. Plugs: TeamMagma.net is a pretty cool website. You guys should all start using.
Yeah, it is.
We have Wi-Fi tournaments every Saturday night. There's a forum thread where you sign up in, so sign up there. Also, ask us questions for the podcast if you want your question read on the air, like we just did with those three.
Yeah, those people were
also
super cool.
Yeah, either ask them in the forum thread or hit us up on Twitter. That is at the Lava Pool. Oh, speaking of that, again, I'll mention the giveaway. I think Gengar is still the
I think that's
number one. So, Blake, does anyone have a Gengar?
Blake, do you want to give out Dark Matter?
I have one, but it's...
I have a nicknamed Shiny Gengar, nicknamed Dark Matter. I apologize for the nickname. It was not my
okay.
idea.
Yeah, I also have a nicknamed Shiny Gengar named Memento Mori.
That's probably better.
I think I named Slenderman.
Solid.
Okay. So, I don't know. Maybe you'll get a nicknamed one. Maybe we'll find one without a nickname. Either way.
Maybe we'll just love you forever, because we already do.
Yeah.
So, that's a guarantee.
Okay, other plugs. Unprofessional Pokemon is Sunday mornings. You can find out what time that is in your local area by going to this site. It's also live on Twitch.tv/TeamMagma. And then the archive goes up on our YouTube channel, which is, I think, Team Magma VGC.
Yeah, search it in the search bar.
And if you want updates on when it's about to go live, follow our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TeamMagma. And that will tell you every time there's a new episode of Unprofessional Pokemon, or a new tournament video, or even an episode of this fine show, The Lava Pool.
Obviously superior to all the other ones, because it includes me.
Yes. And do you guys have anything you'd like to plug?
I'd like to plug Blake Hopper for being a sucky individual, because Blake sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I was having, the longest debate with myself of what to title all these episodes for season 2, and first I was just gonna do classic arcade games, because we talked about Double Dragons a lot, so I'm like, oh, I'll do Double Dragon for the first one, just picking up, it's like no one else is gonna follow this. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do just name it after all the episodes of season 2 of Pokemon, which was the Orange Island. It's again, I think only I will understand what's going on with this naming scheme.
We'll just make fun of Bopper.
Well, at the end, I just decided to do the last thing someone said in the episode that wasn't goodbye. And that ended up being Benji saying, "Bobber sucks."
Solid.
So, yeah, I
Are we
think.
still doing plugs, by the way? Because I would like
Yes.
to plug my Twitter, at
Okay.
MrBopper96. I don't tweet, but you should still follow me because I'm an amazing human being.
I know, I follow you.
Most people do, and they don't
Not
regret
on Twitter,
it.
but.
Oh.
It means I have to plug my Twitter, but mostly because I'm telling you what my Twitter is. It's at Dim Sunlight. I tweet not regularly. I do tweet sometimes, but it's really pointless, useless
Yeah,
tweeting. But if
that's
you want to follow Tolar Haze Web,
the
that's the
one and
place
only
to go.
world champion.
World
Yeah.
chump. I'm sorry, world champion, not world chump. World chump.
There you go.
Now, you want to plug your Twitter?
I'm a Blatty 59 on Twitter, and I tend usually I tend sometimes I tend to tweet about some of my months in basketball, but also when I write reports or post my war story or post war stories or maybe a sort of team analysis or something. So yeah, if you follow me, you'll be sure to know when I have something up.
Fantastic. All right, and that will do it for the Lava Pool. We will see you again in 2 weeks. Until then, I'm Sam.
I'm Toller.
I'm Blake.
I'm young, I guess.
And we'll see you next time on the Lava Pool.
Pancakes!
Bye.
Bye.
Sit in a corner and cry. I hate it. I actually had to do that in Top 4 at the Premier Challenge.